episode 14.
Welcome to Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets, the show that offers you insight, tips, tricks, and shortcuts to superior hockey play.
Just to provide a little history to this episode, a year ago, my partner at CoachChick.com posted one of my videos on YouTube. Rolly had the right idea in that it's a great way to gain worldwide exposure. He told me about what he'd done, of course, but neither one of us paid much attention to the video until a month or so ago. That's when Rolly emailed me to take a look at the comments that had accumulated. Yep, I'd been hammered pretty doggone good. In essence, that video shows both inexperienced and fairly accomplished players, with my narration suggesting that skaters who move with their arms and legs in sync use a lot less energy than those who have their limbs flailing all over the place. What drew the most criticism, though, was my saying that since the legs push outward on each thrust, the skater's arms must travel through a similar side-to-side path. Boy, did some of those commenters scream at that one, and a few even cited their idol power skating coaches who espouse a very different kind of motion with their hands and arms. Ironically, the most recent post asks if there has ever been a study done to resolve such a question. So, I'm here tonight to answer that and a host of other questions concerning the forward stride. To begin, although I do have to treat this subject in a scientific way, I'll attempt to make my show as interesting as possible. So, I'll include as many links as possible in the show notes, these acting something like references or footnotes. Now, know that I was aware of some studies a good 20 or so years ago, which is the reason I've been teaching certain skating mechanics for longer than a lot of current day instructors have been skating. Still, feeling I should chase down more recent studies for this show, here are just a few that I found within a matter of minutes. I actually first discovered a news group exchange going on between ski instructor Ken Roberts and a fellow named Serge. It seems that Serge was studying some video of a pretty fast roller skier, and he wondered why the skier was swinging his shoulders so much. Ken Roberts replied, "Elite skaters swing their shoulders from side to side because it makes them go forward faster and win races. The key is reactive force." Then Roberts goes on to explain that the force of swinging the shoulders from side to side produces a reactive force sideways through the ski and against the snow or pavement. He says, "This is just Newton's third law. The magic of the physics of skating is to convert that sideways force into forward motion force. Therefore, the sideways accelerations of the shoulders are making a contribution to forward motion power, and thus a higher forward speed." Of course, my YouTube detractors aren't going to accept the word of a skiing instructor. So, let's take this arm swinging thing one step at a time. In a section found on the Museum of Science, Art and Human Perception at the Palace of Fine Arts website, exploratorium physicist Thomas Humphrey talks about the mechanics of skating, and he begins by asking, what makes one player faster than another? He answers, a combination of strength and mechanics help a skater move efficiently and quickly on the ice. When accelerating, players dig their skates into the ice and lean forward. They are exerting a strong force on the lower part of their bodies by leaning forward. Gravity pulls down on a hockey player's center of mass, which torques him forward. It is important to note that skaters can only lean forward when they are accelerating. If they lean forward when traveling at a constant speed or decelerating, they would fall over. Next, I'm going to quote a couple of lines from the noted skating analyst, Dr. Gaston Schaefer. These coming from a taped interview he did for the Hockey Coaching ABC's website. Dr. Schaefer said that the push-off should be done to the side, perpendicular to the skating stride. So you're pushing 90 degrees to the side, or you're trying to. While you're gliding forward, the push stays basically in the same place, which makes it feel or look like it's going behind, but it actually doesn't. Therefore, the pressure should be sideways. Yes, Dr. Schaefer affirms that the skates do push towards the outside or perpendicular to the direction in which the skater is traveling. Next, let me share what hockey skating analyst Dr. Michael R. Bracco from the Institute for Hockey Research in Calgary, Alberta, has to say. For, in his answer to the one YouTube poster who said he was a former NHL player and that he knows the arm should be moved forward and back, let me state that Dr. Bracco's studies were of the strides of NHLers like Sidney Crosby, Alexander Ovechkin, Mike Modano, Matt Sundin, Martin St-Louis, Joe Sakic, and a host of others. Actually, Dr. Bracco has said that all of these players are biomechanically perfect skaters. And get this, they exhibit a deep knee bend before push-off, a forward lean of the trunk, their legs push to the side when striding, there's a quick recovery of the skate after push-off, and the arms, shoulder to elbow, move side to side in coordination with the legs. Wow, did I read that right? The arms move side to side in coordination with the legs? Dr. Bracco goes a little deeper into upper body movements in a piece entitled Characteristics of High Performance Skating. And he notes that, point one, the correct movement of the arms slash shoulders is side to side to accomplish the action reaction of the legs pushing to the side. A lot like that skiing instructor said. Then next, Bracco states that an observation of high-performance hockey players clearly shows side-to-side arm movement. And that was point two. And three is, and there's a forward lean of the trunk while gliding and striding. And he finishes with something that might sound familiar to anyone who watched my little video, in that point four, a major contributing factor to poor skating performance is an inability to produce smooth, coordinated movement of the arms and legs. Wow again. In a scientific paper I found through the Institute for Hockey Research website, it stated that Newton's third law of motion dictates that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. As this relates to hockey skating, fast skaters have wide strides because they push to the side, abducting the hip during propulsion and adducting and flexing the hip during recovery. Now, henceforth, I'm going to avoid putting you all to sleep by occasionally substituting the words side to side for abduction and adduction when talking about arm pumps, and replacing flexion and extension with forward to backward movements. Continuing on then, that scientific paper states that the equal and opposite reaction to hip abduction and adduction is shoulder abduction and adduction, or moving the shoulders side to side. The shoulders have to abduct and adduct with the hips to maintain balance, momentum, and increase velocity, whether the player has one or two hands on the stick. The paper goes on to say that Dr. Bracco et al. Studied the effect of different shoulder movements on acceleration in high school hockey players. Each subject was randomly instructed to accelerate with one or two shoulder movements, either side to side or forward and back. Researchers did find differences between the groups that approached statistical significance, indicating that the athletes who performed side-to-side shoulder movements were faster than those who performed forward and backward pumps. How about that? Then, here's something I've always wondered about. That study says that it is of interest to note that 13 subjects were eliminated from data analysis due to an inability to perform the flexion, extension, acceleration technique, which involved forward and backward shoulder movement. That section ends by saying, this may be an indication that, now you ready for this one? The natural movement of the shoulders during acceleration is abduction and adduction, or side-to-side shoulder movements. Jeez. Just picture, though, an athlete on a slide board trying to pump his or her arms any other way but side-to-side. I mean, the push-off is definitely towards the side, and the skater needs all the help he or she can get to move across the board. Same thing with one of those Russian power boxes, where the idea is to blast off from one side and travel quite a distance up and out laterally to the other side. In either case, my guess is that some clips of forward and backward pumps would make for some great entries in America's Funniest Videos. Now, this morning's email brought an interesting newsletter from Perry Marshall, an expert on Google AdWords, because Marshall provides a pretty good introduction for where I want to go with the rest of my time tonight. As he says, if it seems as though an entire industry is following people who are following people who are following people who are lost, that's because they are lost. And expressing my sentiments exactly, he goes on, this does a great disservice to the customers because they really do want to solve their problems. Most of them do not want to stay stuck. They just can't find someone who has the answer. You know, Dr. Yasha Shmushkin, author of Hockey Agility, states that many programs for hockey players are named power skating. It is the most misused phrase with two words, power and skating. The ex-Soviet coach goes on to say that in a survey of 50 Russian hockey specialists, we see that absolute strength or power is the last of 11 essential characteristics of an ideal hockey player. Interestingly, Dr. Bracco has his own opinion on this subject, suggesting that power skating has its roots in figure skating. As such, many instructors use figure skating skills/drills in the attempt to enhance game performance hockey skating. These kinds of skills/drills and body positions are rarely, if ever, used during a game, and their use in performance-enhancing programs should be questioned. He goes on to cite another study in which Marteniuk indicates that practicing non-game-like skills and drills can introduce artificial situations that can inhibit the acquisition of a high-performance motor program. Getting back to Marshall's idea that the majority of folks are following those who are lost, I think the skating experts here have been kind. I mean, and they're not suggesting that half of the so-called power skating instructors climb down off telephone poles to teach their clinics at night, or they're marketing mages who've managed to develop a flashy brand, or they're bubbly little ex-figure skaters with absolutely no scientific background whatsoever. By the way, I have a meager Bachelor of Science in Physical Education, but at least it's in the sciences. I've evidently been teaching the proper mechanics for a good couple of decades, though. Still, the reason I say my degree studies are meager is because they pale to the PhDs I've quoted here, like Dr. Bracco, Dr. Schaefer, Dr. Shmushkin, and a physicist, and most likely a PhD, Thomas Humphrey. No cake decorators there, and no bookstore owners, just guys whose job it is to know the likes of kinesiology, biomechanics, and physiology. But okay, it's getting late, and I'm only half done putting my listeners far ahead of what most others know in this area. So, I'll save one more need-to-know aspect of hockey skating for the very next episode. See you next week.
Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets is brought to you by New England Hockey and CoachChick.com.